Hello and welcome to the University of St Andrews Scotland's Future Series podcast. And today we've got a really special edition of our Scotland's Future Series podcast because today the university is welcoming the Committee for the Constitution, External Affairs, Europe and Culture. And I think I just about got that right. My name's Stephen Gethins, Professor of Practice at the School of International Relations. And today I'm joined by the convener of that committee, Claire Adamson, and Donald Cameron, who are MSPs in the Scottish Parliament. Welcome to you both.
Thank you, Stephen.
Thank you, Stephen. We're delighted to be here. It's been a real privilege for the committee to be able to come and speak with you, some of the academics at the university, and particularly your students, who were very insightful in their questions.
Well, it's been so nice to have you today. As I've said at other times, people watching this podcast will know that in a past life, I served in Parliament, and I know that, you know, people don't always quite understand the pressures that you have on you in terms of your constituency work, which is the most important part of your job, your parliamentary responsibilities, your party spokespeople jobs. So thank you for taking a bit of time out. I think what happened today was, for people listening, was we had a really good conversation with some of our colleagues in IR at the School of International Relations about your inquiry that we'll talk about in a moment. And then we met some of our students and we covered a wide range of issues, from the war in Ukraine to Scotland's brand, how we're perceived, and also on issues like the cost of living as well. So I know that was really appreciated, and we're able to explain a little bit to them about the work of the committee. But before I hand over, I'm wondering, just for the benefit of people listening, can you just tell us, before we get into the substance, talk to us a little bit about what you do and the work of your committee and your broader parliamentary work as well?
Thank you. So I'm the constituency MSP for Motherwell and Wishaw, and my parliamentary committee duties are to convene the Constitution, Europe, External Affairs and Culture Committee. We have a scrutiny role in the Parliament. We are there to scrutinise government policy and to scrutinise and hold inquiries into areas of interest. So this particular issue around the international offices came from the legacy paper of the Constitution and Finance Committee in the previous term of the Parliament, and we decided to take that forward. So we've looked into a number of areas, so some key themes there that I'm keen to ask you about, and I know Donald will want to get involved in the conversation as we go forward. But we have a big committee remit, and covering Constitution, Europe, External Affairs and Culture. So obviously Ukraine has played a big part in our committee's work, something we weren't expecting. And indeed this report was written before the Ukrainian war started. So we have more challenges ahead, I think, than we had when we were looking at this, but we're keen to get the views of the academic world, get the views of the students, and take that work forward.
Thanks, Claire. Yes, I'm MSP for the Highlands and Islands, one of the regional members, and deputy convener of the committee, with its very long title. But its long title suggests that it does cover a huge area of work, not just on the Constitution and external affairs, but also culture, which is part of our brief. The report that we did on international offices was done, as Claire says, partly because of the legacy paper of our predecessor committee in the last session of Parliament, but partly because I think we're all conscious in the current environment of the importance that the Scottish government places on international relations. And I think for many of us, it's an interesting area to explore. There's a lot of money spent on it. And also, there is a tension, I think, we have to be honest about this. There is a tension between what the UK does on one level and what Scotland does as a sub-state actor, I think is the phrase. And I think that exploring that, ensuring that scrutiny is given to government funding on this. And also, I thought one of the most interesting things we did was talking to civil servants who work in the various international offices about their job. And those evidence sessions, I think, were some of the most interesting we did.
So I thought the inquiry you had was really interesting. I mean, this is obviously a big part of the Scottish Government's work, along with a whole range of other areas. One of the things that you might have heard this morning, but I often discuss with students here at the university, is, of course, foreign policy or international affairs, however you want to frame it, doesn't exist in a bubble. that the big driver of domestic politics, which is something that when you're discussing with your bosses as your electorate, and you have to reflect in your work, regardless of the party, and I know you both come from different parties with different outlooks on the constitution and other issues, but you're answerable to your electorate. And so I suppose what you're trying to do, and I think that the report was very good on this, is scrutinise the work of the Scottish Government in its international footprint. Because when I talk about domestic policy and foreign policy being linked, what's the biggest issue that I suppose you're picking up? Please tell me if I'm wrong. Cost of living crisis. A cost of living crisis that has been driven by, yes, by some domestic issues, but actually war in Ukraine, the UK's future relationship with Europe, a whole range of what we might describe as international affairs issues, but having a direct impact on the day-to-day lives of your constituents. Do you think that's fair?
I do. I think the cost of living crisis, I've never been so scared for my constituents as I am now. And we see that in our casework, in our constituency office, that the impact is profound on people. But we also know that there's lots of ways we can work together. Climate change is going to be a huge issue about how we come out of this. And as we talk about fuel security, we have to consider, you know, whether it's right to go back to relying on fossil fuels. So all of these things, as you say, are very much interlinked. And I think Scotland has a good record in these areas, and that we can help to lead in some of these areas. And what we find from working with people across Europe is that these are shared challenges, and everyone is facing the same issues in their lives, in their domestic life. And that can sometimes make us even more insular at a time when we should be looking out, because obviously the global politics are such that we need to have strong links, strong security links, strong friendship links with other countries across the world. So all these things are really important to move forward. And I think what one of the things we touched on in the report is that perhaps, like with many things to do with soft power and strategy, it's not always visible to people.
Yeah.
But sometimes, you know, explaining why this should be the case and why we're doing this kind of work is so important. And despite the fact that we are from different political parties on the committee, the report is unanimous in its support for the operation of the offices and the great work that the civil servants do in promoting trade and Scotland throughout the world.
And I think actually one of the really interesting aspects of the discussion this morning with your students was that they come from an array of international backgrounds. We had someone from Mexico, someone from America, Romania, etc., and Ukraine as well. And I think that that underlies the point you make, that this is the cost of living is a global issue, that is affecting everyone. There are domestic aspects of that, of course, but I think that was underlined by just speaking to them, and I was fascinated by their thoughts on soft power, because it's yeah. One of the things that we grapple with in this report is how do you measure soft power, in terms of Scotland's cultural output, Scotland's trade output, and how do you measure that? And our role as a committee is to scrutinise government and to try and sort of understand what efforts are being made, what money is being spent, and how that is, are we getting value for money effectively? And that's, I think, very, so intangible, but very, very important to try and understand.
Yeah, it's so difficult to measure. I was really struck by the conversation you were having. So let's talk about brand. And Donald, you're right, we had that. Include that really interesting conversation on brand. And I was quite struck by the view of our students, actually, who were thinking about this, because brand is about, well, firstly, it's about trade and investment. If you've got a good brand, then hopefully your companies can take advantage of that, and you can sell either your product or your country if it comes to tourism and elsewhere. But actually, we see it in the higher education sector, because we want, and I know that every party in the Scottish Parliament wants Scotland to be seen as a positive and welcoming international destination, because I think one of the things I picked up the this morning is that, and I've picked up here, is that you bring in students and staff members from around the world, and it enriches your university life, it enriches your society, it makes this a better place to live and work and study. I won't draw you on this, but as a professor at the University of St Andrews, it helps you maintain that number one spot in the United Kingdom that you'll both have been made aware of course. And so I found that conversation around brand really important in terms of getting their perspectives. Was that something that you drew from that conversation?
Yes, I think we have some challenges. I think the perspective we got is that we're known for the tartan bagpipes shortbread image, which is fair enough. But we were once considered a great engineering and science nation. And I think when you see Nobel Prize winner David McMillan coming back to Glasgow, supporting his own university and importantly supporting students from Scotland to go to and maintain a place at university from some of our more challenging backgrounds, I think that's a really important message about how we view education in Scotland. And yes, you're number one, but we also have the Conservatoire close to our hearts and the Culture Committee.
Excellent.
You know, are considered one of the best conservatoires to study in the whole of the world. And I think what we have to, that's a domestic message we need to get across as well to our own young people, that they have an opportunity to study and research in some of the best institutions in the world. Yeah. And we're all very proud of that.
You both work in politics, so you'll forgive the number one plug that's coming from.
You know, and actually, I thought one of the most interesting questions that was asked and answered was, do your students see themselves as sort of part of the kind of cultural exchange, and whether they saw themselves as advocates for Scotland in their own countries or advocates for their own countries in Scotland? And I think that was and I think the answer was a bit of both. And I think I'm sure that's probably right. But I think, it underlines the importance of cultural exchange. And I think, however difficult, the post-Brexit world is, and we all know the politics around that, I think it sort of emphasized for me the need for, whether that's at university level or at, Scottish Government level, what we do in Parliament, to try and keep emphasizing the importance of cultural exchange and, in the finest traditions of Scotland.
Yeah. So, I mean, one of the things we'd hoped, and I picked up on that in the conversation today, was that I think a lot of our students see themselves as part of the Scottish diaspora, or will see themselves, hopefully we can keep as many of these really young, talented people that you met as we can here to live and work, but inevitably some will want to go home and elsewhere to pursue their career interests. And I've been really struck by the inquiry's work on the diaspora, because of course Scotland's got this big diaspora around the world. Claire, you were right when you talked about brand, and we talk about, whiskey and bagpipes and all that kind of stuff is great because it gives you a basis, but actually you also want to talk about, and you're right, engineering excellence, science and technology, some of the cutting edge work around climate change and climate justice, which you want to tell the world about. So one of the things that we try and do, and it'd be good to get your thoughts and ideas on this, is how do you continue to build and engage with that diaspora? And I know that's something that you touched upon, be it the diaspora of somebody who lived in the United States and can trace their ancestry, or be it the diaspora of somebody like you met this morning who's come to a university in Scotland, had a really positive experience and wants to maintain that connection throughout their lives. So how do we make the most of that? Because it's such a big resource, isn't it?
I think the students talked about the Global Scots Network, and I think that's really important to build on. But also the universities have a role to play in actually with their alumni organisations and actually building those links out across the world and keeping that engagement going as well, because we know the best people to advocate for your country are the people that have come and had a great experience. So but we have to be wary of things that could help, things that perhaps we've come away from, like the post-study work visa, the challenges we have now in terms of research and that integration of research across Europe and universities through Horizon. And I was particularly struck that one of your PhD students came on an Erasmus programme. Yeah. And in a post-Brexit world, we have to build a replacement for that going forward to ensure that our young people have that exchange opportunity. Because it's easy to see just from today how that makes those links and strengthens those links between, in this case, Ukraine and Scotland.
Yeah, and I'm really glad you had the opportunity to hear from our Ukrainian staff and students today, because they've got such a powerful story to tell as an integral part of our community.
Yeah, and I found that very you know, the sort of the modern diaspora, if we could call it like that, a really, really important thing to that, that I gained from talking to the students and building the points that, that Claire made. And I think exchanges, you know, whether that's between, you know, whichever part of the world it might be. I mean, there are all sorts of areas that have already have links with Scotland that you can build on, but there are certainly new areas that I think one of the things that we talked about in our report is, you know, where, for instance, should the Scottish government be placing its international emphasis? You know, there's an obvious reason to have a footprint in the EU, but there, you know, one of the questions that we asked is where else should we be given that resources are limited, etc. And I think that's quite an interesting area to explore. I mean, I think whilst, you know, we knock the kind of traditional bagpipes, whiskey, you know, all that. I mean, it is still a big draw. And it is still a big image that I think resonates with people, both you know, abroad and at home. And you know, I represent the Highlands and Islands, where a lot of the tourists that come back to Scotland, to that part of the world, are coming because of, you know, their heritage, the fact that they may have. And I think I don't think anyone here is discounting that, but I think it's important to remember that is significant, and it is part of the story. But I think it has to be built on with a kind of much more modern sense of whether that's student exchanges or whatever it might be.
So one of the things I was really delighted to attend was the launch of the Council on Global Affairs, Scottish Council on Global Affairs. And I just wonder if you could tell us a bit more about that project, which involves not just St Andrews, but two of our other universities.
Yeah, thanks for that, Claire. And I know you were both, you and Donald were able to attend that launch of the Scottish Council on Global Affairs. The Scottish Council on Global Affairs, for those who don't know, is one of Scotland's first international affairs think tanks. And we've been really lucky to get a bit of basis, to give people a bit of background, that this is an international affairs think tank that's obviously in the Scottish Government's Programme for Government, was also in the Labour and Liberal Democrat manifestos, as well as the SNP manifesto, has received backing from the Conservative Party and the Green Party, and has also received pan-governmental funding and backing from both the UK and Scottish governments. Now, you might think, well, what's that got to do with a think tank? But actually, I think that's really important because it is based in the universities of Edinburgh, Glasgow and St Andrews, where, as I hope you've been able to experience, we've got people who are international leaders in these global issues that are affecting your day-to-day work. And what do we want to do? Well, we want to have a best possible and informed public debate and discussion. So what we hope is that by working on areas like High North security, feminist foreign policy, security in Europe, that we bring a particular perspective from here in Scotland based on the excellence that already exists that contributes to that debate and discussion. And we've been really grateful to colleagues from London, such as at Roussy and Chatham House, for the help that we're getting from them. But actually, we're also really grateful for the engagement that we've had internationally as well. I think one of the most important things that you can do in terms of public debate, as you'll both be aware, is not to get in your goldfish bowl and to try and listen to as many different views and perspectives as you possibly can, because in helping our decision makers reaching decisions, you want to be as well informed as you possibly can be. And by having that basis, what we at SCOGA will do will be to analyse the research and produce papers based on what we think rather than what we think people want us to say. And I think that's really important, and I hope that helps you in your work a little bit as well.
Looking forward to seeing the outputs from it going forward.
I should just add, I mean, with the Scottish Council on Global Affairs is already having a presence in the Parliament. So a few weeks ago, the BBC and SCOGA had a joint event in the Scottish Parliament, which was very well attended. And I think it is making an impact in public discourse in Scotland. So more strength to its elbow.
No, I think that's the aim. We look forward to continuing to work with governments within these islands, but also further afield as well. And as you heard this morning, and I can assure you it's replicated, as you know, in Glasgow and Edinburgh and elsewhere, we've got some fantastic people, and it's about, you know, how do we bring them into that public discourse, productive debate, as people in universities always say. Well, look, one of the things, and I know in terms of time, that one of the reasons we've got the Scotland Future series, and one of the reasons why we were so keen to engage with the committee when it came up, and some of our students have got a project around how do we better have productive debate? How do we better inform debate? And as I hope you've picked up, we've got some really impressive staff and students doing some world-leading work where excellence is so important, and it's right on your doorstep, as it is across educational institutions across Scotland. So just as a final point, one thing that I talk to colleagues about, we're always thinking about, is what's useful to you as decision makers? What's useful to you as policy makers? Because people have got this intellectual resource sitting here at universities. You've had a day, or you've had a morning with us today. I hope it was productive. If anybody's listening in on this, what's your message to them?
Keep engaging with us. That's the big part of it. So there's a number of cross-party groups in the Parliament. Anybody can be a member of those. So for students with a particular area of interest, they should be looking. There's a myriad of them covering science and technology to different countries, health, all those areas. I mean, every aspect of social policy and culture is covered there. So there are always opportunities to come and get involved in the cross-party groups, to present to them. In terms of the committee work, we're very, very grateful for the work that SPICE does, but SPICE is informed by academic work.
That's the Scottish Parliament information.
Yes, sorry. Yeah. Using an acronym, I should have explained. Yes, so... And SPICE will help us choose witnesses as well. So it's about, visibility of academic papers. And we commission research as well as a committee and as an organisation. So people should look to opportunities to offer their services for commissioned work and research that happens in the committees.
Good. You're the same, Donald. What would you like
Absolutely.
To
say? Absolutely. I mean, engagement's really important. I mean, I was, listening to your colleagues and yourself, Stephen, this morning in the first session, I was really, so impressed with, with the expertise in that room and the authority with which, all of them have in their various subjects. And I think that's an untapped resource. I don't think the Parliament does enough of getting people like that into our committees to give evidence or to use their, advice in a kind of more informal way. But I would be really in favour of trying to kind of turbocharge engagement between the Parliament and, academia and the student body in a way that we don't do enough of. So that's my tuppence worth.
Good. Well, look, can I say on behalf of the university, thank you so much for coming and joining us today. We've had a really good conversation, and you're right. I think this is one of these things that we're always keen to contribute to. Universities have been contributing to productive debate in Scotland for centuries now, and hopefully we'll continue to have that partnership for centuries to come as well. But thank you for coming. Good luck in your work. You're always welcome. You're always very welcome.
I think we'll be back after a wonderful visit we've had.
Thank you very much for hosting us. We had a tremendous day.
You're always very welcome. Thanks for taking the time. And thanks, everybody, for listening in today on this very special episode of Scotland's Future series podcast, where we welcomed up a committee from the Scottish Parliament.